You're listening to SBS News.
The United Nations Human Rights Committee has ruled that governments that send refugees back to countries severely affected by climate change could be in breach of their human rights obligations. Independent experts on the committee issued a non-binding but closely watched ruling in a case brought by Ioane Tisiota from the Pacific Island nation of Kiribati. Mr. Tisiota was disputing his expulsion in 2015 from New Zealand, where he had applied for protection in 2013. While the committee said it did not find Mr. Tisiota's life in immediate danger if he was deported, it did find that climate change did represent a threat to his life.
It is enough that the author and his family are already facing significant difficulty in growing crops and resorting to the life of subsistence agriculture on which they were largely dependent. Considering the author's situation and his family, balanced with all the facts and circumstances of the situation in the author's country of origin, reveals a livelihood short of the dignity that the Convention seeks to protect.
In its findings, the committee said since climate change marked a serious threat to people's lives, decision makers needed to take this into account when examining challenges to deportation. Mr. Tisiota argued that his own island of South Tarawa had become badly overcrowded because rising sea levels had made the other islands of Kiribati uninhabitable, causing land disputes and reducing access to safe drinking water. Several Pacific Island nations, including Kiribati, are seen as among the most vulnerable in the world to climate change, as they are just a few metres above sea level. Maria O'Sullivan is a senior lecturer in the Faculty of Law at Monash University. She says despite the ruling being non-binding, it's still significant.
So it's not directly enforceable, and it's not something you would normally argue before the High Court. But over time, I think, particularly because the UN Human Rights Committee, but also other bodies within the UN are looking at it, that over time we might recognise it. But, you know, I think really we're not looking at even the next few years, but maybe in the next decade it will be something that would be legally recognised.
Rights group Amnesty International calls the case groundbreaking, suggesting future claims might be successful where the evidence shows the effects of climate change may expose individuals to a violation of their rights. Professor Jane McAdam is the director of the Andrew and Renata Calder Centre for International Refugee Law at the University of New South Wales. She says while this is the first time such a case has appeared before the UN Human Rights Committee, there are cases around the world where governments are already acting to protect people.
At a policy level rather than an individual case level, governments are already acting to try and protect people who do cross borders because of the impacts of disasters or climate change. So, for instance, in Central America, governments there have adopted some guidance where they essentially agree that if their nationals are forced to cross a border because of a disaster, then they will grant at least temporary protection so that people won't be sent back into a situation of harm.
Professor McAdam describes the UN decision as significant and suggests the Australian government look at ways to manage regional migration caused by climate change.
I think what this decision points to very strongly is the need for governments to be taking proactive steps now to look at how they might use migration itself as a form of adaptation to climate change. And what I mean by that is looking at labour mobility schemes, developing more flexible pathways for people to move from countries that we know are at particular risk, especially in our own region, and developing ways that people can, with their own sense of agency, move themselves out of harm's way before disaster strikes.
Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.